Good morning, church. This is Pastor Dennis. For the first time in over 42 years, I'm not in church on Easter Sunday morning, and of course you aren't either. It's a very unusual time that we live in. We are in the midst of a virus that the world has never seen. We are in a situation that we've never been in before. We're pretty much locked in our homes. Other than essential activities. But we serve a God who is a God of hope. And that's pretty much the subject I want to talk about this morning for just a few minutes. I appreciate you taking the time to listen. And I trust and pray that God is going to use this in your life to encourage you and to give you the strength that you need to be able to continue on in these very difficult days. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your continued love for us. Thank you that we are not as others who know not the Lord Jesus as Savior, that have no hope. Some are putting their trust and faith and confidence in the government and a check that may come in the mail. All of these, though appreciated, are not lasting hope. Our only hope is in you. And Lord, I pray you would use these brief moments in each of our hearts and lives to give us what we need, to remind us of who we are in Christ and how we're so far set apart from how the world operates and what the world puts confidence and faith in. So Lord, increase our faith, increase our love for you. Use these days in our lives to make us more like Christ, for I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We've talked about the subject of hope before when we went through the book of Romans. There's a passage there that talks about hope and how it relates to times of adversity and trouble. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, therefore being justified, literally having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And of course, you know that we must at one point in time make peace with God through the blood of the cross, as Paul taught the Colossian church. Without having made peace with God, there is no hope of eternal life. And we do that, of course, through what Christ accomplished upon the cross. We're not talking about a feeling here. We're talking about a fact. And Paul went on to write in verse number 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ and Christ alone is the way to God. He's the way to heaven. There is no other place to go for forgiveness and removal of guilt. There is no other blood that can cleanse us from all of our sins but the shed blood of Christ. In verse 2, he goes on and says, by whom we also have access, which speaks of a continuous access by faith into this grace. Remember that faith is the means by which we receive grace. God's grace is given to him, given to us by him as a free gift. But in order to access that grace, we must come to him by faith, which means we believe God. We take God at his word. We don't doubt. It's settled in our hearts. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. By faith into this grace wherein we stand. So it is a permanent position. We're talking about being in Christ, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that will never change for one who's truly been born again, who's truly put his or her faith in Jesus Christ and what he accomplished upon that cross. That can never change. No matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, or not only that, but we glory or we rejoice in tribulations also. And that's what we're in right now. We're in a time of tribulation. And this really, folks, tells us what we're really made of, how we respond in times of adversity. Do we cower in fear as those that are lost? Do we doubt God? Do we fear death? Should a child of God fear death. We obviously should do whatever we can to protect ourselves, but ultimately we're in the hands of God. The Lord Jesus has us in his hands, and he promised that no man can pluck us out of his hand. He said, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So we're safe and secure in Jesus. And so we can't respond or react to these times as those that know not the Lord. We are not lost. We're saved. We're saved by the blood of Jesus. And we can be secure and are secure in him. So our hope is not in whether things are going real well outside in the world. Our hope is not in whether there's a lot of money in our bank accounts or our health is good. Our hope is in Jesus Christ himself. So Paul writes, "And not only so, but we rejoice in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work or produce patience or endurance. And endurance or patience, experience. Experience here is approved character. And approved character or experience, hope. And hope makes not ashamed," he says in the beginning of verse number 5. Hope in Christ does not disappoint. We may be disappointed in a lot of things. Remember, when we're talking about hope here, it's not an "I hope so," like "I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow." But this hope is a confident expectation. And when God is involved, God cannot lie. And God has promised many things in the Word of God. And he promised us that he has us safe and secure in his hands. And it doesn't matter how difficult things get, we are safe and secure in Jesus Christ. So keep your eyes fixed upon him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that's going to get us through this. If America is going to be saved, it's going to be through him and him alone. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there were those that were doubting, or some doubted the resurrection. Others thought the resurrection had already occurred. And so they asked Paul, what happens to Christians when they die? And in the Bible, often when a Christian would die, a believer would die, it would be categorized as falling asleep, which is really what it is. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So our bodies cease to function, but the immaterial or the real part of us, our souls and spirit, immediately go to be in the presence of God. And so in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul teaches regarding the rapture of the church, which of course is the next event on God's prophetic calendar. That's what we're looking forward to. If we don't die first, we're looking forward to the rapture of the church, where we're caught away, snatched out of this world to forever be with the Lord. But in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, Paul writes, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," Christians that had died, "that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." And then he explains how we can have this hope and how we can live without sorrow, worrying about what the future holds. For if we believe, and that's not just a head acknowledgement, it's not intellectual assent, it is a heartfelt, total commitment to Jesus Christ, believing with all of our body, soul, mind, every part of us, that Jesus Christ loved us enough to die upon a cross, paying our sin debt in full. He is our propitiation. He's the only one that could satisfy the wrath of God towards sin. Remember in Romans 4:25, the Bible says Jesus was delivered up for our offenses, for our sins, but raised again for our justification. So this Easter, and of course as Christians, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ every day, certainly every Sunday. But today's that special day when we really focus on the resurrection of Christ. Had he not rose from the dead, we would be without hope. Had he not risen from the dead, there would be no salvation. Romans 4:25, delivered up for our offenses, but raised again for our justification. Justification is to be declared righteous in the sight of God. That, of course, only comes through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So Paul goes on to say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "For if we believe, that Jesus died and rose again, even to them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so Paul was instructing the Thessalonian believers to keep in mind that if they have put their total trust and faith in Jesus Christ, then they have a hope that no one or no circumstance, no virus could take away. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul teaches much about probably the greatest chapter in all the Bible, speaking of the resurrection of Christ and also the resurrection of those who have put their faith and trust in Christ in a future date. In verse number 1, Paul begins to explain the gospel. He said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." There's that word stand again, positionally in Christ. If you have received Christ, truly believe from the depths of your being that he loved you, he died upon a cross to pay your sin debt in full, was buried and rose again, and you receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So Paul delivered a message of hope here. He goes on in verse 2, "By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory, or ye hold fast what I preached unto you." So those that truly believe, continue to believe, unless ye have believed in vain. So Paul is warning there of a faith that is a non-saving faith. And I did a series on different types of faith that are not saving faith. Those are still online if you're interested and want to look them up. "For I delivered unto you," I brought authoritatively, I taught you, first of all, "that which I also received, how that Christ died," this is the gospel, "for our sins, according to the scriptures," even back in the Old Testament, "that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." And so the gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. Then he goes on to talk about how he had been seen of Peter. He was seen of over 500 Christians at once. He was seen of James and all the rest of the apostles. And then he said, last of all, he was seen of me, talking about the apostle Paul. And so one of the most documented historical events is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It wasn't just a few that thought they saw something. Hundreds of Christians saw the resurrected Lord. And so then he goes on to say, as some were doubting the resurrection, remember the Sadducees did not believe at all in resurrection, but Paul went on to say, now if Christ, in verse 12, 1 Corinthians 15, "if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection from the dead?" So we see here the importance of the resurrection. And Paul gives six serious problems that would be true if Christ did not rise from the dead and if there was no resurrection. First of all, preaching Christ would be a waste of time. Verse 14, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain," it's empty, it's worthless, "and your faith is also vain, of no value, totally useless." So if Christ is not risen, he would have been nothing more than a martyr for a good cause, someone that died for what he believed in. But of course, that's not true. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, the angel told the women that came to the empty tomb. For he is risen as he said. Also, secondly, witnesses and preachers would be liars. Verse 15, "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So anyone that would testify, including us, that Christ is alive would be liars. And most importantly, of course, God himself and Jesus Christ would be liars because they, of course, proclaim that Christ would one day rise from the dead. And in verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. He would still be dead. So Christ and also our hope of a future resurrection would not be true. And they both stand together, the resurrection of Christ and our hope of a future resurrection. If Christ didn't rise, of course, we're not going to. Again, back in verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. Verse number 17, there would be no redemption. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, it's empty, it's of no value, it's useless. Ye are yet in your sins. So we would still be under the condemnation of sin. The wages of sin is death, which of course is more than just physical death. It's eternal separation from God in a literal burning hell. In verse number 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. So the dead in Christ would have perished. There would be no hope then for them. They would be forever exiled from God. So in verse 19, he sums this up. He said, you know what? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Please keep in mind that we're not permanent residents of this earth. We are permanent residents in heaven. That no matter what we have to face in this life, it's all temporary. Sometimes we, even as Christians, act like we're going to live forever, as though we're anchored in this earth, when in fact we're just passing through. So our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in our God. It's not in circumstances. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to carry a burden that we're not meant to carry. Cast all your care, all your worries and anxieties upon God and upon our Lord, because he cares for us. He's promised not to leave us. He's promised not to forsake us. He's well aware of what's going on. And I don't know what the future holds other than what the Bible tells us. But I do know this, no matter what it is, our God is right here. He lives within every child of God. And he has us in his hand. Keep that in mind, that we are safe and secure from all alarm, the great hymn says. We are secure in Jesus Christ. So God bless you. I'm going to have a word of prayer. And then I want to record a separate little thought. It's from my heart to your heart. So there will be a separate message that will come up online. And I pray that you'll listen to it and God will use it in your life. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. It's not in us. It's not in Washington. It's not in this world at all, but our hope is in Jesus Christ. If there's one listening this morning or afternoon, whenever this is heard, that have not trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, cannot remember a time or a place when they bowed their head and heart before you and truly believe from the depths of their being that Jesus loved them enough to die upon a cross to pay their sin debt in full. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, rose again the third day, showing indeed that God the Father had received his sacrifice for the sins of the world, that today would be the day of salvation, that they would receive Christ into their hearts and lives and be born into the family of God. I pray for every brother and sister. I pray, Lord, for good health, protection from the virus, and also, Lord, that you would use this situation to increase our faith and trust in you, not to destroy it or to cause us to doubt, but to know that Jesus is the anchor of our souls. And I pray, Father, that soon we'd be able to come together. We're planning on meeting starting on the 26th of this month. And Lord, I pray you'd make that possible we'll be out 2 weeks, and that's seems like forever. For some, it's been many more weeks. But Lord, we love you. We love our church, our people. Please, Lord, continue to bless. And we pray for those that have lost loved ones through the virus, those that are sick, those who have loved ones that are sick. We pray for those even in the church that are struggling with physical issues, that you would provide health for them and hope for them. And we'll thank you for what you accomplish in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessed Easter. God bless you. Have a great day.